God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message from 2 Samuel. The encouraging word. It's not unusual for Dr. Wilton to open God's word and challenge us with a question. Today, that question is, who's your one? We're on the way to 2 Samuel, beginning in chapter 9 in just a moment. But Dr. Don also wants you to know we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you, both online at tewonline.org. It's a great place to sign up to follow Dr. Wilton on socials. Also to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. That's online at tewonline.org. But also, many are calling for prayer. You can do that at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now today's message, Who's Your One? From Dr. Don Wilton. The encouraging word.
I want to read to you just a most wonderful encounter. This is a divine encounter. This burns in my heart. Let me read it for you. It's found in 2 Samuel and chapter 9. David, King David, asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before King David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, and he is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Well, Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar." So King David had him brought from Lodebar, from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay honor to him. King David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and he said, "What is your servant that you would notice a dead dog like me? Are you here today?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and to his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at the king's table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. And all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And he lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. And he was crippled in both feet. Isn't that a powerful story? I want that to just I'm praying that that will just get to your heart. Makes me want to weep. Because I am surrounded by people like this. Let's try and unpack this a little bit, if we may. Let's talk about Mephibosheth. Just three things I'd like to tell you. First of all, he had a complex heritage. His family line was complex. So the obvious can be stated. He was the grandson of King Saul. But there was a problem with Saul when it came to David. Because Saul was the one who did everything he could possibly do to eliminate David. There was bad blood between Mephibosheth's grandfather and the new king. And I mean, we're not just talking about a bad feeling here. We don't identify with this, but back in those days, they lived in brutal times. It was nothing for them to just eliminate anybody who got in your way. And then not only that, he was the son of Jonathan. And Jonathan and David were best friends. Bible's clear, they were just as close as anybody could get. And the father of Jonathan kind of made everything awkward. You ever been in a family where maybe the dad in the family is the one who makes everything awkward? Or maybe the son, or maybe the daughter-in-law. There's just one person there who kind of upsets the apple cart. They just are the other one. And it was complex. And we know the story. And how eventually both Jonathan and David died on Mount Gilboa. This is complex, folks. This is like all badly messed up. He had a complex heritage, and what we know to be true about little Mephibosheth, who was just 5 years of age, is that when his daddy, Jonathan, died by the sword, his nursemaid picked up little Mephibosheth and took this little boy and ran for her life. And while she was running for her life, carrying the son of Jonathan, because they usually didn't spare the life of any family member, she tripped and fell, and he went down into a ravine, and he severely became handicapped for life. He broke both legs. And some commentators say he broke his pelvic bone and he was severely handicapped. He could never walk again. He was unable to walk. And some commentators have even said it means that he was paralyzed. He probably, when he was dropped by his nursemaid, he severed something in his spinal column. In fact, what we read in this passage is that when David sent for him, they had to bring him to David. They carried him to David. He couldn't come himself. Had a complex heritage. He certainly had a fearful existence. By the time this story happens, this little boy had grown into a teenager and into probably young adulthood. We're not quite sure, but he was obviously a few years older than what he was when his father was killed, and he lived in hiding. He was not only handicapped, but he was cowering away. He was hiding in a cave. He was fearful for his life. He couldn't get around. Nobody seemed to care for him. He was no longer the grandson of the king. He was just one of those people that you pass by on the side of the street. He was just that person sitting out there looking very unhappy. He was just that neighbor that never leaves their house. He was just that friend that struggles so much with addictions. He was just that son, that daughter that's gone off into a faraway land and now is relegated to eating pig's food. It was just that other person out there. It was just those people. It was one of those. He had a complex heritage and he had a fearful existence. And obviously he had a serious condition. Bible tells us in both 3 and 13, Bible makes it very clear. Twice we are told about his condition, that he was lame in both feet. In the Greek text, the word there is leg. He was rendered immobile. He couldn't move, couldn't do anything for himself. And one can only imagine back in those days. So where does David come into this? David comes into this because the Lord Jesus wants us to see the face of God's grace.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, Who's Your One, with Dr. Don Wilton in a moment. But if you've just joined us, maybe missed part of today's broadcast, you can listen again or share it with a friend on our website at tewonline.org. While you're there, sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email or consider following some of Dr. Wilton's socials. That's online at tewonline.org. And you'll also find a great resource like this.
When Jesus comes, every eye will see him, even those who crucified Jesus and those who mocked the name of Jesus. Do not be shocked or surprised at what's going on in America today. We had better wake up, America. Jesus is coming again. This month, for your gift of support of the Encouraging Word, you will receive Dr. Wilton's powerful and timely message, Trusting God, along with the bonus DVD movie on celebrating Ruth Bell Graham, a life marked by the faithfulness of God. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request Trusting God and the bonus DVD movie today for a gift of $20 or more. Thank you for standing with us.
That's just one of the great resources on our website, including the new book from Dr. Wilton called Saturdays with Billy. Again, details are online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching, a message called Who's Your One with Dr. Don Wilton.
So where does David come into this? David comes into this because the Lord Jesus wants us to see the face of God's grace. A couple of things that we know to be true about this wonderful story began by David, the king, asking a personal question. It's a wonderful question there. Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul? Very personal. Now, historically, we can establish the meaning of that because we know that back in those brutal conditions, the word house literally carried with it a death sentence for all who were part of that house. That was very much part, historically, that's a fact. If Saul had been executed and Jonathan had been executed, that would have included every one of that household. Wives, sons, daughters, grandchildren. This was a very serious question. And can you imagine? I should imagine that those standing around would have looked at the king and said, "Why, king, what a dumb question, if you don't mind me telling you respectfully. You know everybody associated with King Saul is no longer here. That's the practice." And in any case, if they were, who cares about them? Nobody cares about these people out there. Or maybe someone would have said, "Listen, why are you asking if there's anyone there? I know why you're asking it. You're asking it because you want to finish the job, don't you?" He asked a personal question. I'm asking that question. Is there anybody around me? Is anyone now that, who's my one? Who do I know? You know, when God put this message in my heart, I know this sounds all cute and all the rest of it, and I don't mean it to be, but ever since I began to read and study this passage, and God just began to get a hold of my heart, all of a sudden I began to see people everywhere. It's like, didn't I see them before? He asked a personal question, but very quickly he showed a gracious intent. He didn't waste time. You know, I love what he says here in the second part. He said, is there anyone still left to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Why do you and I always have to keep people guessing as to the intent with which we want to do something? Let your kindness show. Is that criminal? Everything Jesus did was a practical, open, demonstrable. You don't have to be private about your kindness or over-spiritual about it. Evidently, Jonathan, he just said straight out there. I think he reminded the household that he had had a special relationship with Jonathan, whatever the circumstances. And then thirdly, he asked a very direct question. And that is when Mephibosheth came in there, I can't imagine the terror on this young man's heart. I mean, most certainly, even though we don't identify it, he probably imagined he was being brought there, possibly, to be executed. That was their way of doing things. And the king asks him a direct question. Now, I love that. He just looked at him. You know, I use the word direct question there because in the text there, if you look at it syntactically, it's sort of like a exclamation mark question. It's a point of inquiry. It's investigative. It's like, are you Mephibosheth? Are you who I think you are? He didn't just identify his name. He affirmed him in his need there. I see you. By the way, names are important. Names are important. One way in which you will connect with somebody very quickly is to ask them their name. And by the way, just get over the fact that everybody remembers your name, because you don't. Don't get a complex about saying, now, who are you again? Or give me your name. Ask people their name. It changes everything. Do you know Jesus knows you and me by name? He does. Well, as soon as this direct question, this connection was made, he gave detailed instructions. So here's King David. He said, now, Ziba, I just want you to know something. And by the way, Ziba was the chief servant of Saul. We know he had many sons himself and was kind of like the grand gatekeeper. And he was given a very special assignment by King David. Go and find this young man, bring him to me, and now here's what I want you to do. And we've got this incredible list of instructions. I just want you to know, please make absolutely certain that the very best is given to Mephibosheth for the rest of his life. In fact, I want you to know that I have decreed that all that belonged to his grandfather now belongs to him again. I'm restoring him to his rightful place. But here's the cherry on the top. Number five, he issued an authorized invitation. He said, by the way, if I might just add, as for Mephibosheth himself, he eats at the king's table. The Bible tells us for the rest of his life he did that. I can just see the picture. Every meal, by whatever description, they brought him in. He sat there and he ate at the king's table. Do you know that that's what Jesus does for us? Can you imagine just for 1 minute the impact on our community? If everyone listening right now would invite just one other person to to come and eat at the king's table? Three decisions you and I have to make. Here it is. This is the practical side of it. Number one, you and I have to determine to live on mission. You've got to make that decision. Determine to live on mission for Christ. Here I am, Lord. I'll do it. I can do this. Just determine to do that before the Lord. Make that decision. Make that determination. Number two, select one person. Now, if we had time today, I'd want you all to get out a pen or something. Go to your notebook. Can you think about somebody right now? I'll guarantee you the majority of people worshiping with us today, somebody is coming to mind. Son, daughter, friend, neighbor, outcast, addict, alcoholic, divorcee, college student. I mean, who? Just one. Just one. Who's your one? And number three, you've got to commit to activate. You've got to commit. I've got to commit. You must determine to live on mission. You must select that person, and God will help you. And if you decide today that's what God is going to put in your heart, just watch what happens. I promise you, just watch what happens. Suddenly they'll be there. And then you've got to commit to activate. So how do you activate? You activate by taking three actions. You ready for this? You activate by taking three actions. First of all, you have to initiate the contact. Can you tell me, is there anyone still alive in Saul's house? You've got to initiate that. You've got to initiate the contact with that person. You've got to actually stop your motor car, roll the window down, and talk. You've got to actually get up. You've got to actually stand in the line and break line and move up to help the person. You've actually got to do something. This story about David is so gripping because he was king. He determined to live on mission. He selected one person and he committed to activate. And when he put that into practice, what did he do? He initiated it. He said, is there anybody around? Oh, Mephibosheth. And when Mephibosheth came in, he has the second activation. He shared with him. I'd like to just say to you today, folks, I believe in jugular vein evangelism. Jugular vein evangelism. We are beating around the bush too much with too many people. You've made a friend with someone far too long without sharing with them that they too can come to know Christ. I know this sounds always somewhat strange to people, but I encourage you to go to somebody and say to them, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Now, what is the single worst thing that can happen? I'm not going to go there. They could send you to heaven, right? Anyone got a problem here? I know, not just yet, not just yet. I don't want to go just yet. My daughter's just announced she's getting married. I don't want to go tomorrow. No. Share. But here's the third activation. Actually help them do what they need to do. If people need to give their hearts to Jesus, help them. If people need something and you've been blessed, do something about it. Actually help. The picture here that we've got of David is an amazing picture because it's the picture of God, the love of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loves you. He looks down upon us and he says, I love you and I love you. I came to die for you on a cross. You matter to me.
What powerful teaching from Dr. Don Wilton today. And I pray you heard not just from Dr. Don, but you heard that message from the Lord using this radio broadcast to let you know that Jesus died for you. You matter to Jesus. You've heard Dr. Don. He's been preaching, but I pray as he comes into the studio, you'd open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Thank you for listening today. It's been such a joy sharing God's word like this. Isn't it amazing how you can hear God speak through his word and by his spirit? Right now, I'm going to ask you, would you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you would. Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I confess my sin to you and I receive you into my heart and into my life. In Jesus' name I pray. My friend, if you've prayed that prayer, God not only heard you, but he's answered your prayer. The Bible says, they that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. I want to connect with you. You can visit us at tewonline.org, tewonline.org, or you can call us at 866-899-9673. Okay, you want me to give that again? You might want to write it down, make note of it. That number, 866-899-9673. Let's connect, because we got a lot of growing together to do.
Welcome to the family of God. I'm convinced that some of you, along with Dr. Wilton moments ago, prayed to say yes to Jesus Christ for the first time. Some of you rededicated your life. And today is the first day of the rest of your life living for Jesus with nothing held back. Dr. Don has resources he wants you to have. If you've just given your life to Christ or rededicated your life, won't you call us at 866-899-9673. That number is available 24 hours a day. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you, and give you those free resources from Dr. Don. The number again is 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather connect keyboard to keyboard, let's connect on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We would love to walk alongside you to encourage you in what we believe is going to be the best season of your life as we all focus on living for Christ with more passion and more commitment than ever before. We also want to say thank you for joining us for this time of Bible teaching with Dr. Don Wilton. This program is sponsored by The Encouraging Word and your generous prayer and financial support. Thank you so very much.